The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
Yeah! From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Brought to you by the National Cannabis Coalition.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Wednesday, August 8th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the program. We got a great show coming to you for the next 2 hours that's going to include live bluegrass music right here in studio with Gypsy Moon. But before we talk about that, let me tell you about hour one on today's show and get you all caught up with everybody sitting here in the studio. Joining us in the co-host seat today, we've got Wiz Khalico. How you doing, Khalico?
Doing good, man. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you here. I know you're getting up early tomorrow morning. You've got a friend who's competing for a medal.
I do. My friend Kelsey Campbell, who I went to Milwaukee High School with, is competing in the women's wrestling 55-kilogram Olympic event tomorrow. So I'm pretty stoked about it. Going to be up bright and early rooting her on.
So one of the women wrestlers who didn't get kicked
who
out for pot.
Didn't get kicked out for pot. So, yes.
We'll talk more about that story, too, coming up in just a little bit. Also joining us in studio at the engineer desk, we got Brian the Red hanging out. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing all right, Russ. How are we doing?
Doing fantastic. We've also got Cool Craig hanging out in the studio. Hi, Craig.
Always good to be here.
Good to see you. Craig's the other guy in Portland, Oregon with the cool hats like me. Also, in our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, we've got our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Russ. Did you just give Craig a nickname now?
Cool Craig? Yes, he's Cool Craig now.
Sweet.
Everybody
you are the giver of nicknames,
yes,
Russ.
Everybody has to have a nickname, and the more alliterative, the better. But getting serious for just a moment, we've got our Daily Cannabis Chronicle coming up, the latest headlines in the marijuana community. Carrie brings that to us every day right after the first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
We do indeed. Today, we're going to talk about Colorado dispensaries that have got their threatening letters. It just doesn't stop, Russ. Also, unfortunately, I have to talk about some home invasion robberies that have to do with home medical grows. And we're going to talk about that deadline passing in one of the states for initiatives. I hear that you have a few words to say about that as well, Russ.
Well, let's just say if you get the chance to get marijuana on the ballot, get behind it. Okay, folks, get behind legalization when you can. We'll talk more about that in the news. Thanks, Carrie. Also today, we've got our daily Toker Tunes. It's Irie Wednesday, and so Kyle, a.k.a. NorCal Perps, is going to call up from the Bay Area, and he's got some music for us from Catch a Fire, good friend of ours here on the show. I believe they're on tour. Are they on tour right now, Khalico, Catch a Fire?
I'm sure they are, but if you don't know, go to catch them at catchafire.co.nz, and you can figure it out for yourself.
That's right. One of our favorite New Zealand bands out there.
Absolutely.
And then at half past, we've got our regular segment here on Wednesdays, Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You can call in live or get into our text chat at ncr420.com and ask your questions on cannabis culture, science, history, and health from one of America's leading researchers on the subject. Then at 45 past, we are welcoming for the first time on the show, John Walker from the blog Fire Dog Lake, more specifically, justsaynow.firedoglake.com. We're going to talk about their controversy they're having with Facebook, once again, not wanting to pick up one of their advertisements. Then in hour two, a big special event, Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour helps set this up. The Northwest String Summit is coming here to Portland, Oregon. We've got one of the bands coming in here live. Gypsy Moon is going to be here with us, featuring Vince Herman, the guitar player, who just happens to be the son of the guitar player from the band Leftover Salmon. You might have heard of him. Anyway, great bluegrass music coming up live here in the studio in hour two. Plus, we'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. And have a good time right here on the Russ Belville Show. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's RUSS to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show. I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Farrakh has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Smells like a skunk. Marijuana is not going to re-legalize itself. You've got to do your part. Join the National Cannabis Coalition today at nationalcannabiscoalition.com. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis. The topic of marijuana is heating up the news, and the Russ Belville Show catches you up with today's latest headlines. Now, here's our senior news editor, Cannabis Carey, with the Daily Cannabis Chronicle.
That successful federal campaign to shut down medical marijuana dispensaries, in spite of state laws and communities supporting them, seems to be continuing, and this time in the well-regulated state of Colorado. Colorado U.S. Attorney John Walsh's office has confirmed that they sent out 10 more letters to medical marijuana businesses in Colorado, ordering them to close their doors or face prosecution. This is the third wave of letters that Walsh has sent to Colorado dispensaries. All letters claim that the Colorado dispensaries in question are within 1,000 feet of some kind of school, and therefore breaking a law. In January of this year, Walsh ordered 23 dispensaries closed down, and in March, another 25 letters went out demanding closures. So far, 47 of those medical marijuana dispensaries have been closed. One of those was able to have the order to be shut down withdrawn when they pointed out that the school the letter was referring to was only an empty building, no longer in use. Walsh is using federal laws to close these businesses. He cites the Controlled Substances Act, Title 21, Section 860, in all of his letters. That references a 1,000-foot boundary between a school and manufacturing or distributing a controlled substance. The Colorado State Medical Marijuana Law specifies that the distance between a medical marijuana business and a school falls under the zoning guidelines of individual communities. Now, the crackdown on Colorado businesses dealing with medical marijuana prompted the Boulder District Attorney Stan Garnett to write an open letter to Walsh telling him that the people of Boulder did not need the federal government to dictate how far the businesses should be from schools or any other points of local land use law. Walsh responded that he was not acting at the direction of Washington, D.C., but at his own direction as a U.S. attorney and a Coloradan. Colorado voters will have a chance to legalize marijuana in November, but if passed, it will only change the state law. That federal law that Walsh has been using as a tool to close dispensaries in Colorado will be the same. A recent Rasmussen Report poll from this summer showed that 61% of Colorado voters are in favor of legalizing marijuana for adults, so we can count Attorney Walsh firmly in that 39%. Of the rest of the Colorado voters.
Yeah, I guess so. And of course, the troubling part about this is that these U.S. attorneys seem to be acting of their own volition, and the Obama administration seems to be letting them do it. It's obvious that they're not, it's not that they're unaware this is going on. And when we got the word, you know, back in 2008 during the campaign and 2009 confirmed by the attorney general, that it would be a bad use of federal resources to be going after these establishments that are in conformance with state law, we we kind of took them at their word, and now we're finding that we've gotten more raids and more threats against medical marijuana industries in the 4 years of President Obama than we had in the 8 years of President George W. Bush. Now, to be fair, there are probably more outlets to go after in these last 4 years as well. But this has led the industries, the Colorado industries that are involved in medical marijuana, plus the activists that are involved in trying to legalize marijuana, to get together to produce billboards. Of course, they've got the Amendment 64 campaign that has already put forth a lot of billboards and ads. But this most recent one refers to President Obama coming to the state of Colorado. He's coming here to campaign. He's coming to Colorado to campaign because it is considered one of the swing states in this election. Both Governor Romney and President Obama will be spending a lot of money there. And when he does, he'll be greeted by this billboard that shows President Obama getting off of Air Force One, and it says, "Welcome to Colorado, home of 100,000 patient voters. thecannabisindustry.org/PVP.
Police and Supplies Arizona say they are not ruling out the possibility of charging a victim of a shooting and stabbing that happened during a robbery attempt at his home. Martin Ridgway was running a compassion club from his home in Arizona when the home invasion took a deadly turn. Arizona's medical marijuana law is a bit cloudy on the legalization of so-called compassion clubs that have sprung up since the medical marijuana program began 2 years ago, but the dispensary program is still about a year away from seeing actual business locations. Three men entered Martin Ridgway's home Sunday night, posing as medical marijuana patients around 1 a.m. The court documents say that Martin Ridgway had marijuana packaged and ready for sale, along with a large indoor garden. Sergeant Mike Donovan of the Surprise Police Department said that the investigation into the entire incident is ongoing, and if during the course of that investigation they determined that other laws were being broken, they would consider charges at that time. But even without a law degree, the story as it is unfolding doesn't look very good for Martin Ridgway. Court documents say that he told police the men came into his home to purchase that pot, and they gave him fake marijuana cards. When he refused to sell the marijuana to them, a fight ensued. Papers also say that Ridgway had hundreds of plants, far more than the medical marijuana law would allow. Ridgway was able to summon police to his home right before one of the men shot and stabbed him. During the attack, the robber's handgun jammed, and the two men began stabbing each other. The attacker, only listed as Mike, was killed as police officers came through the door of Ridgway's home Monday night. The Gateway driver, Stephanie Connolly, and the other alleged robber, Jesse Gillen, were both arrested at the scene and faced several charges, including being charged with murder. A fourth robber managed to escape police. Surprise, Arizona is just south of Phoenix and is a community of about 120,000. The police chief, Mike Frazier, said that this proves the concern of law enforcement all along that medical marijuana is a crime magnet, saying that similar crimes could be committed at the state's legal dispensaries and growing operations. More than 25,000 people have been able to grow marijuana legally in Arizona, but many of those gardens need to start winding down, since many will now be located within a 25-mile radius of one of the 99 dispensaries that now have the green light to begin the process of opening their businesses. Ridgway is in stable condition this afternoon after emergency surgery yesterday. We will let you know if the police decide to charge him with any marijuana crimes. Now, one note. As I was writing the story, I had to mention that this week so far has been a deadly one for home invasion robberies at homes with medical marijuana gardens. In Oakland on Monday morning, an attempted robbery of a home with a legal garden of about 100 plants was invaded, and the thief was shot and killed by the home's caretaker. And in Modesto, California, a homeowner shot and killed a burglar who broke into his garden early this morning. Police found the 21-year-old robber face down in his front yard, and he later died at an area hospital.
And this is the tragedy of prohibition of marijuana, and this is the folly of the medical marijuana laws that we have. And it works like this. We legalize medical use of marijuana. We provide this exception for some patients to be, or collectives or whatever, to be able to grow their own. But we don't end the prohibition that maintains the huge price of marijuana. We don't end the prohibition that forbids the use and acquisition of marijuana by the 90% of the people in the market that want it. And that inevitably leads to these home invasions, to these robberies, these break-ins, this violence against people. And when we set it up with medical marijuana, those people tend to be the sickest and most frail people that are having to defend themselves against criminals. And inevitably, with the way we have our right to bear arms in this country, people are going to get shot over a weed. And the problem that happens then is that when people hear about these stories, oh my God, you know, homeowner shoots marijuana burglar in Modesto, and oh my God, Oakland shootout, Chinatown marijuana grow house shooting, all these headlines pop up and people go, oh my, we legalized marijuana just a little bit, and look at all the chaos, look at all the violence, by God, we better not go any further. But that's exactly the opposite of what the problem is. The problem is we did not go far enough. We have not gone far enough with medical marijuana. We've set up a situation where some people are set up to be targets for robbers. Targets to be robbed of something that costs and produces far much more profit than it should. You never hear of home invasion robberies of someone trying to break in and get someone's homebrew beer kit that they got going down in the basement. You know, you never hear those home invasions. You never hear of the ranches being invaded, not ranches, but vineyards being invaded by any sort of robbers trying to make a profit. Because those products are legal, and the people that want them can get them. The people that want to grow them can grow them. The people that want to sell them in traffic can do so. These things are going to continue to happen and splash all over the front pages and lead people to be afraid of legalization when this is what it should be, convincing them to have more legalization. And it's not just in the medical marijuana states. The sad thing about this, Carrie brought this up today when she said there was this shooting over a marijuana home invasion. I went and typed it into Google News and got at least 7 results. Just from this week, there's a Pennsylvania shooting that happened where a police officer was shot and he's paralyzed from the waist down. Another one in Port View, Pennsylvania, where there was a shooting with a 62-year-old homeowner who was shot over his medical marijuana plants by a 24-year-old and an 18-year-old. And one that I think is maybe the saddest story of all. There was a couple that lived in a top floor apartment and another guy that lived in the bottom floor apartment. The couple in the top floor knew that he was growing marijuana, so they used text messaging to set up with another friend of theirs to do a home invasion on his home in the bottom level when he wouldn't be there and rip off all his marijuana so they could all make a profit off it. But oops, the guy turned out to be there. There turned out to be violence, and that left one man dead and these people facing charges of conspiracy to commit murder. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth our moral indignation over people smoking pot and the need to throw them in a cage for doing something to themselves that's far less harmful than the use of alcohol? Is it worth these lives? Is it worth these home invasions? Is it worth the police time? I think not.
Now, we know that Amendment 63, the Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol Act, will be presented to the voters of Colorado as they decide if they would like to allow legal cannabis for adults in their state. Amendment 63 was only one of a few different initiatives trying to put up some kind of cannabis reform measures to the voter. But yesterday was the deadline set by the Colorado Secretary of State's office, and now we can report to you that no other proponents have submitted their signatures for consideration of validity, meaning that Colorado will vote on one and only one legalization initiative this November.
Yeah, when I was back in Colorado earlier this year, I remember talking to Kathleen Chipeye. She's one of these people who said they had true legalization. We're going to get true legalization on the ballot. And I remember one of the things that she complained about when I was talking to her was how dastardly the people from Amendment 64 were by getting their signatures turned in so early and being able to run their campaign so early. On the one hand, she said it was foolish because they didn't wait for all these certain court decisions to come out that I lost track of when she was talking about it. And the other problem was, of course, by getting them in so early, they did that on purpose to try to short circuit the other measures that were trying to get their signatures in. And here we have it. The deadline passed. They did not even submit any signatures. Reading from Michael Roberts reporting in Westword, the Westword blog in Denver, Initiative 70 was the people for Legalize 2012, the one who says that regulate marijuana like alcohol, you know, the one that's on the ballot. They say it's not true legalization because it, you know, has a 1 ounce limit and other things, right? So they were going to put true legalization on with this Relief for the Possession of Cannabis Act, Initiative 70. And how close did they get? How many signatures did they get? We don't know. When Westword contacted them, Chipeye sent a statement out that was written in the name, her name, and the Initiative 70 Legalize 2012 proposal that says, quote, I-70 campaign is extremely enthusiastic with the significant amount of signatures we gathered in the limited amount of time we had available. This was the person who was complaining to me that the other people started too early, got their signatures in too early, complaining she had a limited amount of time available. All right. continuing, we concur with the opinion of certain senators and MMED officials that unfortunately no language will pass this year as a result of many social and political factors, yada, yada, yada. Basically, they're not saying how many signatures they got and didn't turn in.
It's 420 back in Idaho, where Russ and Carrie were born. So we have to go connect with our roots. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support the Russ Belville Show.
You know, it's like the people in Washington. It's like the people in Oregon. It's like the people in Colorado. Look, you're only going to get one chance, one shot at legalization every now and then. When one of them makes the ballot, shut up, fold your tent, and get on the bandwagon. We all have to work together against this. Our enemies are legion. Stick around.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily Toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Mindy Vermucher.
Electric Tuesday. Yeah. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter, call me the ganja farmer.
Groovin' Thursday.
Do you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday. Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Irie Wednesday, featuring reggae, ska, and other world music genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily Toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily Toker tune.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I was hoping we'd get NorCal Perps on the line today, but we don't have him, so we're going to call an audible. We're going to move to the bench here, pull up one of our fine reserves. And that's Wiz Calico, who, of course, is the host of the Irie Island Hour. It'll be on tonight live at 8 o'clock Pacific time for all of you who want to get your Irie groove on. What do you got going on tonight?
Tonight, we're going to be recapping the Warped Tour, which I went and got to check out this weekend when it rolled into town on the last day of the Warped Tour here in Portland. So we'll preview a few reggae bands that got to play on the House of Marley stage there.
Ooh.
Pretty stoked about that. Today is, if you don't know, it's August the 8th, so it's 8/08, the date. So we're going to play a lot of songs from 808, the 808 area code, a lot of Hawaii songs.
Good thinking.
The Green has dubbed it the Green Day, so I guess that we're going to play a little bit from the Green and talk a little bit about my hanging out with them this weekend. It was awesome. And in fact, today, for the Irie Wednesday tune on the Russ Belville Show, we're playing a tune from a band called Ballyhoo. They're from Baltimore, Maryland. They're awesome. They're kind of a reggae, punk, ska type band. They play a lot of different influences there. They're awesome. They're from the East Coast, like I said. They were on an entire leg of the Warped Tour, all 41 dates. They were awesome. I got to hang out with their bassist, JR, a little bit on this weekend. And he slipped me one of their CDs, so we're going to be playing a track off of their CD. You guys should check them out at ballyhoorocks.com. And this video that we're going to play today is from their single called Say I'm Wrong. I played it up before in the Irie Island Hour, but I hope you guys enjoy it. This is Ballyhoo from Baltimore, Maryland. Check them out at ballyhoorocks.com. This is Say I'm Wrong.
I don't want to wonder if you love me. I just wanna know this much is true. I've been searching for a purpose, thought I found someone in you. And now I got some questions, baby, and I can't stop the feelings I have. Am I headed for some trouble on this winding our train track? Way, way, way too long I've been trying to get through to you. Tell me, what should I do? Say, say, say I'm wrong. If standing up for this is wrong, then I don't wanna be right, yeah. Staying up all night with you is a gift that I won't forget. Make out sessions in the dark like the times when we first met. Making love on your bedroom floor in the night while your parents slept. We would laugh and whisper until the morning sunlight crept in. We don't talk much like we used to do, and I miss our silly conversations. Please tell me, should I stop loving you? 'Cause I don't think I could even if I tried. Try to get through to you. Tell me, what should I do? Say, say, say I'm wrong. If standing up for this is wrong, then I don't. Like we used to do, and I miss our silly conversations. Please tell me, should I stop loving you? 'Cause I don't think I could even if I tried. Whoa, way, way, way too long I've been trying to get through to you. Tell me, what should I do?
Music from Ballyhoo for your Irie Wednesday. When we come back, we will be talking with Dr. Mitch. Stick around.
Dear Mom, when I was in college, I used to drink a lot. It was kind of crazy. But now that I'm older, I prefer to use marijuana. It's less harmful to my body, I don't get hungover, and honestly, I feel safer around marijuana users. I hope this makes sense, but if not, let's talk. I love you.
I like that.
Well, I don't know what you can do, but what we can
keep the funk alive.
That's right, baby. We're keeping the funk alive right here at Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, National Cannabis Radio's home of soul, funk, and disco. So join me, Big Daddy, every Thursday night, 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, at the Funky Roller Rink, where every night is Saturday night.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times Magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971 971- 533-7111 now.
All right, folks, time for the Cannabis Q&A. Welcome to the show, Dr. Mitch Earlywine.
Pleasure to be on.
All right, so here we are, summertime. We're hitting the festival season, and we're getting ready to get your questions here on our Dr. Mitch segment. You can send them in through our chat room right there at ncr420.com, or you can call us live at 971-533-7111. While we're waiting for your questions, we always give Dr. Mitch a chance to keep us informed on the latest scientific studies and polls on cannabis. What's new in the world of science, Dr. Mitch?
Well, it's intriguing. For the third time in a row now, we've had a large poll published of experts, this time in Scotland, trying to rank the addictive properties or the amount of damage different drugs of abuse can do. And what a surprise, a big one done in Scotland shows that cannabis is again at the bottom as far as such things are concerned.
And what other drugs do they put in these kind of rankings? Do they include things like...
Well, so this one, heroin, of course, was at the top, nicotine right near there, alcohol not far behind that, and cannabis and caffeine down at the bottom with LSD lower on addictive potential. So what a surprise, nobody's jonesing for acid.
You know, that's always been an intriguing thing to me, too, is how they don't really consider, even the government doesn't seem to consider psychedelics, you know, hallucinogens like acid or mushrooms to be addictive. Why not?
As it turns out, there's really no identifiable withdrawal. And the measurement of tolerance, if there is any, we sure can't seem to find it. So without those two, our definitions of dependence pretty much go out the window.
Okay, so, you know, using the same amount of acid time after time doesn't decrease. You don't need more of it like you would other drugs.
At least that's how it seems. I can't say the underground market provides necessarily the same dose time and again, but it looks like... That's the case. As I say with all of those, a little dabble do you.
There we go. We've got a question from our chat room wanting to know about the co-effects of alcohol and marijuana. Does alcohol increase the effects of marijuana, or does marijuana increase the effects of alcohol, or both?
As it turns out, alcohol slows the metabolism of marijuana, and I'm not recommending the home game on this one. This isn't a big enough effect that it would lower your cannabis bill. But it does seem to be the case that in the lab we see THC is metabolized significantly less fast if people already are about 0.04 or so, a couple of beers in. It doesn't seem to work much in the opposite direction. Cannabis doesn't seem to alter alcohol's metabolism rate in any way that's detectable. I should mention that a small subset of folks report incredible nausea with this combination, despite cannabis's legendary anti-nausea effects. And so if you feel like you might be one of those people, by all means, never mix, never worry.
As Carrie and I have been known to call it, you should never alcohol marijuana. Inside joke.
In all honesty, I feel like it's a waste of pot.
There you go. And as far as the effects sociologically or in the market even of alcohol and marijuana, do we see where there's better access to marijuana, there's less abuse of alcohol?
Only in one study. And in another one, they turned out to be complements. So rather than marijuana substituting for alcohol, it turned out that actually as marijuana use increased, so did alcohol use. That was a big economic study done by the RAND Corporation. It's just a kind of an open question. I feel like that's one where we really do need more work. I can't make a definitive answer given the small number of studies that have been done.
Yeah, even the prohibitionists that I've talked to, I remember talking to Dr. Kevin Sabet about this, where he said we don't know whether or not alcohol and marijuana are complements. That is, if you use more alcohol, do you use more pot, or vice versa? Whereas we know with something like cocaine, they're somewhat complementary. Is that right?
That's the case. And I mean, if anybody would say something negative about marijuana, it would certainly be Kevin.
We've got a follow-up on this alcohol and marijuana question. So if you are someone, this is a gothic prophet in the chat room wants to know, if you are someone who is using marijuana and you're drinking beers from time to time, are you then more likely to get caught on a drug test? Is it going to slow the metabolism to the point where you're going to fail P tests more often?
We don't have the data directly on that, but sad but true, that probably is the case. Mm. Slowed metabolism means slowed metabolism all the way. Once you get the alcohol out of your system, which is relatively fast, though, it shouldn't have a huge impact, but certainly it's going to add a couple of days, potentially, to how long you'll be detectable on the cannabinoids.
All right. We've got a question from Royal Subject, which I believe is coming from England, as a matter of fact, wanting to know about cannabis's link with anxiety. You know, we hear some people that use cannabis to treat anxiety, and then we hear other people who use cannabis and get anxiety. What's the link?
As it turns out, this is incredibly strain-dependent and has a lot of individual differences in expectancies. So we're finding that folks who report they expect cannabis to increase their anxiety, what a surprise, it really does happen. Those of you old enough to remember the old college film with John Belushi where they ask, am I going to go psychotic if I smoke this marijuana? And the guy says, it's a distinct possibility. I believe it's Donald Sutherland.
That's right.
Sure enough, if you have that expectancy, what a surprise, you do get anxious. If you don't, you're less likely to. But there are some strains that really do seem to make folks anxious, even who are necessarily experienced with other strains and who just happen to be in an outrageous setting. And obviously, set and setting really does determine a lot of this. So some of the early studies done in labs where you're just basically the only person getting high around a bunch of straight guys with buzz cuts in white coats, yeah, it really does make you anxious then.
All right. Do we have a call there, Brian? Or?
No, actually, I just wanted to kind of follow up along with that. As somebody who suffers from anxiety and uses cannabis to help treat it, I do agree that there it is a strain-dependent kind of thing. I believe that there's some certain cannabinoid that we haven't, you know, isolated yet, that a high concentration does give you some anxiety, whereas some of the, you know, lower content of that cannabinoid would relax you, you know. I mean, I've personally had those effects. Hmm. So that's
yeah.
just what I'm saying.
It may be CBD moderated, and in fact, we've got at least one study to suggest that that might be the case. This isn't my favorite treatment for clinical anxiety, and I do want to plug my friend John Forsyth's books on anxiety treatment. It's not, you know, the absolute cure for all anxiety in your whole life, but you really can learn to accept more anxiety after taking a look at some of the acceptance and commitment therapy work that he's done.
All right, we're going to go to our phone lines now at 971-533-7111. We got a caller from the 330 area code. What's your question for Dr. Mitch?
Hey, Dr. Mitch, it's good to speak with you. I'm from Ohio. My name is Stu. I emailed you a long time ago. I have what they call Paget's disease. That's what, at least it took them 10, 12, 13 years to figure it out. And that's after spending 12 years in the Marine Corps and doing what they said told me to do for so long. Anyway, I was just wondering if there was any kind of study on that. And also, I'm just wondering, these guys in, was it Massachusetts that send these cigarettes to LV and everybody, is there a possibility that maybe they know about some cannabinoids that you guys haven't figured out and they got some of that and maybe they're using that already in some of these medications that we don't know about? It's not being listed because it's not legal.
Hmm.
And if so, then it goes and throws the hook in there, you know, that gives them reason to not want it legal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, okay. So we got
to listen to what you say.
Yeah, we got two questions. We got the cannabis and Paget's disease, and maybe let us know what that is. And then any, you know, what's going on with the federal medical marijuana?
Sure. So, I mean, Paget's disease is relatively rare, and the symptoms vary a lot across different folks. There aren't a lot of publications on it. I'm not an expert on it, so I don't want to essentially say something wrong, but you do see it in a small subset of folks, in part because it's so rare, the diagnosis is difficult, and there aren't any published studies with that and cannabis. So I'm on thin ice to try to really venture a guess on that. The presence of cannabinoids we haven't identified is distinctly possible, but we're above 64 now and making a lot of progress, and at least the ones that seem to be most prominent we've got a handle on, but you know, the names are getting more and more obscure. It's distinctly possible that some of the plant-based medicines, particularly the extracts, have these in them, but we haven't identified them or don't even know how to research them. Is that the motivation behind keeping cannabis illegal? I think that might be a little bit of a stretch. In part, cannabis is still illegal because of old racist attitudes from back in the 30s, and that this was a plant that was being used by undesirables and just a way to kind of control ethnic minorities or other folks who the standard people who were in power didn't want to have around, but didn't actually have a law that could make them illegal as people.
Exactly. All right. Questions keep coming in from the chat room. Good one here. I'd never heard this rumor before, but Zamota wants to know, is there any truth to the rumor about mangoes enhancing the effects of marijuana?
I've heard this a couple of times myself, and I've been looking into the chemicals in mangoes. They do have an enzyme kind of like papayan that it sounded like, oh, hey, maybe this would alter the way THC was metabolized, but nobody's ever actually done it in the lab. Nobody's actually taken that step. I'll tell you, they sure taste good, especially after a little of the train wreck.
We are willing to sacrifice ourselves, Dr. Mitch, for the marijuana and mango study, should it ever need to take place. We'll find the funding for it. Sounds like a good study.
Sounds like this is a good summer to make those data available, too.
I think so. We have a question from Free Economy here, who wants to know about drug opiates, wondering if naturally occurring opiates are different than pharmaceutical opiates, and if there's any knowledge on that.
Yeah, in fact, there's an incredible range of pharmaceutical opiates now, so it's almost to the point where talking about them as a class has gotten more difficult. But generally, the hardcore ones, the ones that are notorious for their addictive potential, like heroin, really are very similar to some of the ones that occur naturally, but they don't break down as fast, and so that's why they have such a long effect and such a dramatic one, whereas the ones that occur naturally in your body tend to dissipate and get metabolized a little more rapidly. And now that we've got some of the pharmaceutical ones that have a lower abuse potential, you do see that they don't really stimulate that opiate receptor in the same way. They're sort of partial agonists rather than full agonists, and they have these adverse side effects that you don't get in a lot of people. So tramadol, some of those other ones where there's the slight nausea and not as dramatic a euphoria, but still get some of the relief from pain, and those seem to be the direction that pharmaceutical companies are comfortable going.
Okay, and before we wrap up the segment, I want to remind folks, if you didn't get your question in on today's show, you can always call back or check the chat room next week. We do this segment every Wednesday with Dr. Mitch. Or if you want to keep it, on the down low, keep it private and personal, you can always send Dr. Mitch an email at 420research@gmail.com. That's 420research@gmail.com. And oh, by the way, Dr. Mitch, we were talking about the cannabinoids and all the strains and the different names. News just coming in from TMZ tells us that local pot growers in Southern California dispensaries now are selling Usain Bolt OG. So there you go, the name. They say it's a fast-hitting strain, of course. So there we go. It's sometimes a little difficult when we're trying to get marijuana, cannabis, recognized as the medical miracle that it is, when you have to deal with names like this, isn't it?
When you got to walk in and ask for monkey balls, it's just a little rough.
It's going to be a little difficult. All right. Well, we're going to call it a day. And thank you, Dr. Mitch, for joining us here at National Cannabis Radio and the Russ Belleville Show. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks very much.
All right. When we come back, we've got John Walker from Just Say Now, Fire Dog Lake. Stick around. We'll be right back.
To the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson,
friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show. Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. 45 after the hour. You know, way, way back in the early days of the internet, hardly nobody was talking about marijuana, and certainly not any of the mainstream blogs. Today, almost every mainstream news source has some sort of marijuana-themed blog page. Even CBS News has their Legalization Nation. But one of the first ones to step into the fray and dedicate their blog space to treating marijuana legalization as a serious issue came from the progressive blog Fire Dog Lake when they started up Just Say Now. And joining us from justsaynow.com is John Walker, the blogger from Just Say Now. How you doing, John?
Good. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I'm glad to have you on here. You know, we first, again, got acquainted with Just Say Now during the whole Prop 19 campaign in California. And I remember telling that story, and during that time, you guys were having some issues with Facebook, trying to get some ads placed that they wouldn't accept. Later on, some of the Facebook guys donated some six figures to the Prop 19 campaign, which ultimately failed. But now I understand you got another Facebook issue going on. Tell folks what's happening.
Well, we were just trying to put the focus on marijuana legalization this year because it's on the ballot in three states already. And, you know, it's basically being ignored by most of the major candidates in both of the parties, even though at this point, you know, with it being pulling at about 50%, it's more popular than Mitt Romney currently is. So we're just running a campaign, Don't Forget About Marijuana, and we want to run some ads, you know, focused about getting marijuana into the debate. And Facebook rejected them, saying that it's against their policy to promote the use or consumption of illegal drugs. And, you know, this is not about promoting the use of illegal drugs. Ironically, you know, this is about changing drug policy. This is like a political issue. But they don't let us use the marijuana leaf in the image, which is, you know, how can you talk about something or, you know, have an ad about something if you're not allowed to depict it?
Yeah, that's, and it just seems to be, you know, doing this at a very basic, oh, gee, pot leaf must be bad, without really digging deeper into, no, this isn't about promoting cannabis use. It's about promoting a dialogue on our drug policy laws. What steps are you guys taking to try to rectify the situation?
Well, we've got a petition going to get them to stop blocking our ads and let us put them up there. If you go to Don't Forget Marijuana, you'll find a petition there, or if you go to our Facebook page, you'll also find it up there.
Yeah, and you know, this is becoming, you know, rapidly becoming a very popular issue in governments, you know, outside of the United States. Just about every week we get a story of some South American or Latin American government that is considering some form of decriminalization or legalization. As you've been reporting on this, as you've been covering these different Latin American countries that are, you know, calling for changes in American drug policy, do you find that this is starting to break through to some of the higher levels in Washington, or are they still as stubbornly opposed to making any changes as they've always been?
You know, I would say there's some good congressmen out there that are putting forth bills, but you know, to a large degree, we still sort of have the same mentality at the highest level when it comes to, you know, marijuana bad. You know, that's the end of the story. You know, Obama's been pretty bad on the issue. Mitt Romney's almost comically bad on the issue. So, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be penetrating. But we do have a few new congressmen, new elected officials that have been coming up that are starting to, like, change their tune. And so there's some encouraging signs at, you know, a few different races.
Yeah, and of course, at the state level now, we've got three states voting on legalization: Washington, Oregon, Colorado. As far as medical marijuana goes, we've got Montana voting on a referendum, Massachusetts voting on medical, and now, as we reported and you've covered it as well, it looks like North Dakota will make the ballot, making six different states voting on some measure of liberalizing marijuana laws. This is pretty much unprecedented, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, you know, it was a really big deal when Prop 19 went on the ballot in California, you know, got a lot of the focus. But this year, you know, you've got it on three states, you know, full legalization. And it'll actually be a really interesting, from my perspective, I feel like, to see how each of the campaign does and see what messaging they use, because it will be a great natural experiment about, like, what does best reaching voters on the issue.
Well, yeah, especially when we're looking at, you know, situations like we brought up Colorado and the new billboard that some of the industry people there have put up, reminding President Obama that there's 100,000 patients in the state of Colorado that vote. And then, you know, from Mitt Romney's perspective, being the former governor of Massachusetts, he's got a state there where they've decriminalized the last election. And this election, they're looking at medical marijuana. It will be interesting to see. It appears like, you know, Mitt doesn't think it's an issue of significance, and President Obama continues to dodge any sort of discussion of this issue. Do you think, though, that marijuana legalization or medical is going to eventually make it into the top level of issues that are discussed on, you know, the Sunday news shows and the political debates that we're going to have, the presidential debates, for example?
I think, you know, and this is sort of what we're trying to do. We're trying to point out the fact that, you know, both Obama and Mitt Romney, you know, they're both opposed to medical marijuana, which, you know, 70-80% of the United States supports. So they're both so radically outside the mainstream on this issue. But, you know, we're trying to put it into the mainstream, and I think having it on the ballot in Colorado is going to be really important, because that is shaping up to be a big swing state. I think the Real Clear Politics polling average has it about 1 point advantage for Obama right now. So that's going to be a real tight swing state. So with them there and that being on the ballot, that's probably going to force the issue into a lot of discussions, I think, as we get closer to the election.
You know, the other big story in the news right now, of course, is the 30th Olympiad out in London. And, you know, we had the first interview with Stephanie Lee, the wrestler who was kicked off before the Olympics. And then, of course, we had Nick DelPopolo, who's been kicked out of judo for the Olympics. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on these athletes in London getting busted for using marijuana, and whether they should even be on the banned list in the first place.
Yeah, I don't understand why it would possibly be on the banned list of substances. You know, I guess, you know, they got a lot of weird things on there. So if people actually thought it was enhancing performances, I could see the justification. But it seems more that this is just old school drug warrior mentality. Because, you know, the use of marijuana some 40 or 30 days before the Olympics, I just don't know how that possibly would impact anyone's performance, which is what the Olympics should be about. You know, it should be about skills. You know, it shouldn't be about some morality test.
Yeah, and that seems to be, you know, what it's being used here for, just a matter of keeping, you know, corporate sponsors happy. We know that Heineken UK is a London Olympics sponsor. We know that Budweiser is a Team USA sponsor, even going so far as to sponsoring, you know, directly sponsoring four athletes at the games, and ironically enough, including a wrestler. It seems to be it's more about, you know, protecting the sponsors' profits, don't you think?
Yeah. You know, this is just sort of the unfortunate state of affairs, where the United States has been sort of forcing international organizations to be this, you know, tough on marijuana stance for so long that, you know, we wind up with this kind of absurdity still out there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking with John Walker, who's the blogger at justsaynow.firedoglake.com on the progressive side of things, dedicating to this issue. And, you know, from a political standpoint, I thought this would be kind of an interesting thing to bring up to you, being on, you know, working on this progressive blog, Fire Dog Lake, in that the Gary Johnson factor. I was reading about that public polling you were just mentioning in Colorado, it being a 1-point race, and they were talking about how the poll numbers are different when you start throwing Gary Johnson's name into the mix, in that a lot of marijuana supporters support his, you know, are fond of his support of legalization, and some medical marijuana people are wanting to send a message to President Obama. Do you think the Libertarian candidate is going to make a big splash in the swing state of Colorado?
Yeah, you know, it's always a matter of degrees. You know, if it's a really close election, if Gary Johnson just took 1 or 2 points away from Obama on the medical marijuana issue, you know, that could easily throw a race. You know, in Florida 2000 and in Florida in 2000, it was what, about 100, 200 votes that was finally decided the state. So, you know, even a small impact in a close election can be a big impact, you know, on the outcome in politics.
Yeah.
And I think you will. You know, PVP found he was pulling out about 6 in Colorado, and it's apparently one of the only states they polled where he was pulling more support away from Obama than from Romney. Most other states, you know, people are casting a vote for Gary Johnson as sort of a protest against Obama, but they don't like Romney. You sort of have a reverse situation in Colorado, which makes it interesting.
That is interesting. And, you know, and speaking of that 2000 election, if Florida didn't have its disenfranchisement like they have, that election likely would have changed. And a lot of people lose their vote in Florida because 20 grams is a felony. Just a little trivia there, since we were talking about 2000 election. So, John Walker, Fire Dog Lake is justsaynow.firedoglake.com is the blog, and again, the main story here, the ads. Their Facebook is blocking ads from Just Say Now because of their inclusion of the marijuana leaf as part of their graphic. If you're looking on our webcam right now, you can see the graphic. It's, you know, Just Say Now with a cartoon balloon with just a pot leaf in it. Like, let's talk about this. It seems like the image is fairly clear here. People can sign the petition by going to justsaynow.firedoglake.com. I believe you probably also got this up on Facebook and all the other outlets as well, right?
Yeah, it's up on Facebook. And if you go to Don't Forget Marijuana, which is sort of the message of this, we don't want marijuana to be forgotten debate. You know, we're talking about 800,000 people get arrested a year. You know, half the country supports legalization. 80% of the country supports medical marijuana. You know, unfortunately, the major candidates don't. So, you know, we're just trying to make sure the issue doesn't get forgotten in the election.
Well, it seems like, you know, some of the local or the state level politicos are coming around on this. Was it the Texas Democratic Party that came out in support of legalization? The Denver Republicans came out 56% support of Amendment 64. So when we look at the polls and as far as the changing landscape of people's support for marijuana legalization, the last two Gallup polls have shown a rise in every demographic group. You know, it doesn't matter who you ask, old folks, young folks, black, white, Latino, religious, non-religious, Republican or Democrat, except in one group, and that was self-identified liberals, who decreased from 78% support to 70% support. Maybe it's just a one-time thing in the polls, but do you see any change in the support among liberals and progressives for marijuana legalization over time?
It's tough. The support's pretty high, so it kind of fluctuates up there. But I think Obama being against medical marijuana in such an aggressive way, you just sort of have some natural sort of, you know, rally around your team defense of his positions. So that probably might be swaying a few percentage points up at the top there.
Yeah, that could be a little bit of the influence there. And last question, John. A lot of people who want to support President Obama, despite what's gone on with his raids and medical marijuana and all, point to his evolution on the gay marriage topic and think that maybe in his second term he might evolve on the issue. Do you think so?
You know, I find it unlikely that he would personally choose to evolve, but you know, with the issue changing so quickly, you know, the politics might sort of force him to. I guess that's sort of the only hope right there, that, you know, I don't think he's good on the issue.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's interesting you're talking about this. Massachusetts, most of the big politicians were against the decriminalization measure.
Yeah.
When it won so big, this time around, none of them want to talk out against the medical
law. Well, John Walker, senior policy analyst out there at Fire Dog Lake and the blogger out at JustSayNow.com. Thanks for joining us here on the Russ Belleville Show.
This is the Russ Belleville Show. The Russ Belleville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
All right, folks, stick around for hour two. We've got a special guest in the studio. Gypsy Moon is here, going to be playing some live bluegrass for us. So for those of you listening on podcast, you'll have to get it at Toker Talk Radio. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.